The Open Book on cliffcentral.com.
Yes, yes, yes. It is the 14th of April today. The time is 9:06 here in the Cliff Central studio, to be exact. And we're back with you right here on The Open Book. I must say it's been quite an eventful week in the South African Christian calendar. The first of these being the National Religious Leaders Council and the South African Council of Churches asking President Jacob Zuma to step down. Now, most of you know the story behind this and why they've made this request. I mean, surely I won't have to repeat the constitution saga between the president, the Concord, Thuli Madonsela, and probably the most famous South African real estate in the country right now, which is Nkandla, as the president calls it, Nkandla. But for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about exactly, about what happened about 2 weeks ago. So the church leaders said the president's apology following the constitutional court's Nkandla judgment was just simply not enough. And they believe that the events have laid bare the leadership crisis in the country. Now what happened is that many leaders within the structures of the ANC, they came out with guns blazing against the church leaders. They were claiming that churches, they should just never involve themselves with politics. But now Geert Khoza, Reverend Geert Khoza, who is the spokesperson of the National Religious Leaders Council, he said the following statement. He said, "We are part of society and we cannot bury our heads in the midst of what is happening. If we learn from our history, religious leaders played a huge role in the liberation of our country." True. Now, but then what happened is that Ex-Political Prisoners Association's Deputy National Secretary, it's quite a long word, but I think they're called EPA. So a guy by the name of Mr. Mpho Masemola, he then came out to say, he said, "President Zuma said to them, 'Sorry, I am wrong.' But the very same church leaders refused to accept his apology. It becomes suspicious then, if they refuse to accept his apology, what are they representing?" And this was his point, right? And in a way, it kind of infuriated me because he goes on to quote a verse, which is what people always do when they try to prove Christians wrong. They say, "Yeah, but the Bible says." My question is, what does your Bible say? More than that, actually, what does the Constitution say? Because that is the Bible of the nation. But anyway, this is what he said, right? He said, Matthew 18:22, which Jesus says that if someone commits a crime against you up to 70 times, you must forgive him. In other words, what is wrong with these church leaders? Because they should be the very first ones to forgive. Now, the reason that this kind of got to me is the fact that a lot of the times when people quote the Bible, they want to just take the part that kind of works for them, but actually forget about the whole thing. If you're going to quote from the Bible, then at least know your verse in context, and at least how the Bible got to that point in context. Because according to me, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, that the Lord disciplines him whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. In other words, for each one of your deeds, there is going to be consequences. There has to be consequences because that is part of disciplining. And I believe that, you know, disciplining is because they love us. You see, The extreme is that you get kicked out of, okay, let's say like if I'm a Christian, the extreme is that I go to hell or I get disciplined. But regardless, there are still going to be consequences. And we see this in the Bible. We see this in the Bible all the time. I mean, look at King David, right? King David was found guilty of adultery. Guilty of adultery, right? And as much as he went and he repented after he had killed Uriah, who was the soldier, and slept with his wife and had the kids, there were still consequences because that child actually died. But God, in his grace, made sure that the second child that he had, which was Solomon went on to become king. And out of Solomon came Jesus centuries and centuries and centuries later. So in other words, as much as God disciplines, I believe that, you know, just like the Bible says, that all things work for the good for those who love the Lord. Now, that is really my view. And I've got to have a view on these things. I can't just sit here and just smile and say, "Ooh, Jesus is so good," you know, without having a view. Because as soon as people come with Bible verses, we need to let them know what the real truth is about. I mean, that's the absolute point of the Open Book. But that's my view. That's my view. Who am I? Loiso. Here in the open book. But if you have any, you know, if you want to say anything, I think just let us know and let us discuss it. Maybe I should probably try and have those guys come into studio. Another interesting story that I read about this week was that of Prophet Mboro from Incredible Happenings Ministries. We've got to talk about this stuff. My guest is busy smiling. Okay, so what happened is that he allegedly claimed that on Easter Sunday, he was taken up to heaven. Here is the part. He took pictures on his Galaxy smartphone and then came back to Earth. Now, this was according to some newspapers. And I'd rather say that he allegedly claimed, because we didn't hear this from his mouth. It was just according to some reports that were out there over the course of this week. Now, Mr. Nkuna, who's his spokesperson, according to the papers, he went on to say that the pictures are available for 5 rand and they can be sent to recipients via WhatsApp. In other words, we can make a little bit of money with these pictures of Prophet Mboro up in heaven. Now, when the Commission for the Promotions and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities, you can just call it CRL, they then put out a statement that they were investigating the claims. And what happened is that Prophet Mboro denied it in a press conference that the photos were his. I'm going to play you guys the clip and also what the commission also said. This is Pastor Mboro during a press conference denying the claims.
In heaven, you don't need cell phones and all those things. And those things everybody can see. You can see, everybody can see. That's Photoshop. And there's a Malawian independent newspaper that has exposed all of these things where they are coming. Why do they choose certain parts of the media reports and leave the ones with evidence? So it's here the commission, its mandate. It was established to destroy specific churches and all that. And me in particular, and the pastors who are praying for people with power and demonstrating miracles. All these sweet churches that are not performing, that are not showing any power, they are the ones that are recommended.
Being charged for not complying with the summons. You got a legal release summons that says he must come here and produce the following documents. When we met with him, he said he doesn't have an NPO. His church is not registered as an NPO. His church is a CC. So we said, fine, if they're a CC, then bring us the account, you know, the printout of your CC. Because that's where the church money goes. So we're following church money. If you're putting church money into your personal account, then because it's public funds, the public has a right to know what happens. But we've also sent him a summons again for him to come and explain whether these selfies he had were his and what was the reason behind. Because it is our belief that he's bringing Christianity into disrepute. If he knows about the selfies and he was behind the selfies and he was selling the Nugget System selfies, because we all know he never went to heaven. So if he continues selling the selfies for whatever reason, it's fraudulent. And we lay new charges against him. Because our reason is to protect the religion itself.
My members don't have the pictures. My members never heard me speak those things. My family don't have those pictures. So she has those pictures. I want to see those pictures. And she has that evidence. There is nothing for me to explain. She must explain to South Africa and to me. She should have done that before she went all over. What is it that I must? She's using that position as a commission that she can bully me around and do whatever she wants. No, I'm not going to let her do that. Now she's changing the direction to come up to divert the people from what she's been saying. I'm still waiting for her to withdraw her statements and apologize.
Yep, I think it's quite simple. I mean, I hear both where they're coming from. I mean, these guys are a commission that goes out to investigate matters like this. If you know that, I think about a year ago, what they did was that they went to most of the churches and most of the big churches, actually, and just try to see whether the books were in order and all that, you know, like, and all that stuff. And apparently, Prophet Mboro, he didn't supply anything. He says that, no, they're not an NGO. I think it's very simple, man. You know, just show the papers, just show that you don't have the pictures, that nobody has the pictures. And this whole thing will just, you know, we'll just go away. That is just my view. But yeah, this is the open book, and those are the stories, the Christian stories of the week within our South African community. Now, speaking of media, my guest today, Sifiso Ncwane. Don't worry, Buti, you're going to be absolutely fine. I think for the past year, you know, like, he's really just been a victim of many attacks by the SA media. But, you know, as someone who knows him personally, I know that there's so much more to this man than what's portrayed of him out there. He is a dedicated family man. He's a great musician and worshiper who has been in the music industry longer than most artists, and let me rather say most pop artists, have been alive. After this, we'll get the full story from him and also hear about a single that he did with PJ Powers. This is going to be awesome. I'm so looking forward to this, a moment that I've been waiting for a very long time, because today we're getting real with Sifiso Ncwane right here on The Open Book. See you after this.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.
I know, you're born. And you're even doing the remix now.
What a great song, man.
Thank you so much, my brother, what for having song. Me. Ngiyabonga kakhulu with your producer and the owner of the radio station for letting me ukuthi ngibe part in the station just for a few minutes. I've been watching people on my Instagram talking about the Cliff Central. Hey, God, please, one day, yeah. I want to go there. Yeah, but you know, God is a provider. Yeah? And then you ukuthi yabona wena. Ngimhlaka 14 April, and it's your birthday month. You are going there.
And it's your birthday on the 21.
Yeah, 21. Yeah, but of my April. Celebration is on the 22, where I'll be giving back to the community where I grow up. So, in fact, I'll be celebrating my birthday. You can give me a present if you have one now.
Yeah, come on now.
I'm collecting.
And not those Facebook presents.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you just get a, what is it again? It's like a wrapped box, and then it just keeps flashing.
Yeah, but
you know, gives Fiso a real present.
You said I'm waiting for a present. You see something like jumping on your Facebook. So,
yeah.
Okay, it's fine. Anyway, thank you.
But you know, Joe. But you know, I think before we get into who you are and the things that you've done, I'm always absolutely amazed at just what a blessing you are, not only to South Africa, do you know what I mean? But just to your community, man,
yes.
And the things that you keep on doing. And I know as a musician that none of these things are easy, you know?
Not
but
easy,
you keep doing
brother.
Them. I mean, you do a concert at the end of each year, you know, for the community.
Yes.
There are a few of the people within the community, AKZN, that you travel with all the time, you know? So you're not only just a soul provider with this beautiful music, but you actually also, you know, you help. I mean, like, you're an absolute help, and you give people jobs the whole time. So I've got to just commend you for that.
Thank you so much, my brother. You know, without the grace, kankulunkulu, bengeke ngikwazi kwenza yonke le nto. By the grace of God, amandla kankulunkulu. You know, most of the things that I used to share with people, some of them, they don't believe me. And as I'll be celebrating my birthday this month in Kwagolokolo, in Twalume, I invited a lot of journalists so that I want people to talk about me while I'm still alive. Because mina, I didn't go to school, my brother, you know. I have grade 2 and I didn't finish grade 2. When I started to pray to God, when I came to Johannesburg, I didn't know how to speak English. And then I was praying. I said, God, please teach me how to speak English, because I was getting invites like shows from Botswana, and I knew no one knows how to speak Zulu there. Maybe a few people. So it was going to be very difficult for me to communicate with my supporters. And then in 2003, that's when I started to know how to communicate in English. And where I grow where I grew up, like if you can go to my village and see Ugutusfiso, the Ubuya Gopi, and then there was no sign ukuthi a person like Usfiso Ncwane angaphuma kuleya village. And then now I'm going back there to celebrate with my people, to say thank you for raising me, because my mother left me when I was 2 weeks old with one family akwaMthembu. Wow. And then I only saw my mother when I was around 14 years. And then we didn't have that connection. And then from there, I went to my another relative. And then from there, I've been going around. That's why, if you go to KZN, you go to Adams, they will say, Sfiso is from here. You go to Poshepstein, Sfiso is from here. Mtualume, Sfiso is from here. Kwamakuta. Because mina, I was going all over.
Well, yes, I mean, you know, Uyesu born in Bethlehem. and then, you know, lived in Nazareth, was Amen. All the time in Jerusalem. So I guess that everybody, that they claim the him. Amen. You know what I mean? Jesus. Everyone's got to claim him. But I guess also it's because of the work that you've really done in those places.
Yes. No, I really thank God, my brother. Today I'm here. It's a great honor for me. Like, I really appreciate. I never thought one day I would be sitting here. So it's a really great honor for me. So
here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I'm here.
Let's speak about let's speak about your singing. I know that you were signed as a very young boy, because ngiyamkhumbula uSifiso laphayana, all of us when we started we were quite small. but singing, I mean, like, how did you find your voice? How did you find that you could sing?
Okay. What happened in my village, we recently had electricity like I think a year ago.
That's probably not a long time ago. That's probably like what, like 95?
Yeah.
92.
In my village, I think it's 2000 and...
Wow.
In 2000 and when we have electricity, it was 2000 and...
But the early
2007, if I'm not mistaken. But it was, there are few houses still abangenai electricity. We don't have tar road. When I was growing up there, and then Tina we besiyazi ama Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and then ukuthi you have to sing Atamia, there was ama Zayoni, everything was a cappella. So mina I grew up in a Zayoni church, so now we used to form ama choir e Zayoni ukuthi okay siyacula whenever there is a church service, you know, ama Zayoni they have inkonzo zama Saturday isigugu ama lati, all these things ama Zayoni. And then we started a choir, a gospel choir, as a boys choir, yabona, we were singing like Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Okay. And not like a dragon speck njengam
Frankie Speke is too professional. You know, when you hear that music, you think, hey, am I not going to heaven? It's like, you can imagine heaven. So now, we started that choir. We were singing like, let's meet Black Mambazo, but gospel.
Yeah.
And then the guys, they were saying, "I, when you have a small voice now, your voice is very small. Why can't you lead a few of our song?" And then after that, they said, "You are sounding like a lady." Aish. And then I got offended, but on the other way, they were not saying in a bad way, because like I used to imitate all these ladies abebecula kahle at that time. And then after that, we started to get ama invitation guma weddings and other stuff. And then one day, and there was a guy who figured they were babembiza uGodfrey Tevlana. I heard that he was working with Ubabu Sizwe Zako, and Ubabu Sizwe Zako before he recorded Umamuri Peka Malope.
Wow.
And then after that, he said, "You know, I wish maybe singing the album now we won." Ngati mina we, but Joburg, ngati no, I don't want Joburg. My grandfather went to Johannesburg, he came back with no money, or he was escorted by police, so I know Joburg is dangerous. I don't want to go to Joburg until ngibena 21 years. So I waited ukuthi ngibena 21 years. When I was 21 years, I was still scared to go to Johannesburg, and then I came here, and then did an album, and then after I said, no, I'm going back. But mina mangkalukula, I think around 8 years I was already singing, because I remember after 87 we had Gwagnama flats like imvula, and then we did a song that was saying Gekumbula unyaga u 87 unyaga wezimanga unyago wabula labantu, but we were singing it in Stratamiyaza, as yes, I was telling yes, you yes. Yes, yeah, but yeah, 2 years ago, and then we decided to make a song. So I started singing Mangala like when I was very young. My first recording, I did my first recording in 1994. Then with Amadlala Brothers. I don't know if you know Amadlala Brothers. There was one old famous group from KZN that they would sing AIB song Amadlala Brothers. That's when I did my first album.
It's like, oh, I thought we were Amadlala Brothers.
1994. Amadlala Brothers, oh, okay. Yes. That was one of the famous group in, wow, in South Africa, in the times of Bobabu Mahlathini.
Yes,
and yes. And then the second one was 1995 in Adams. It was Fiso Ngwane and the Quiet Storm. And then the third one, it was Fiso Vula Masango in 1999. And then after that, in 2001, that when I met Ubabu Tsepo Nzimande, and then we did Umakadunyiswe.
And that was, I mean, like, and that was your big, 2001, that was, yes, now your big break, because that's when I started to know you.
Yes.
You,
yeah,
know?
As, and then I was like, very small, wedding size 28. And then after that, and when I came here, then Gabona, all the big giant, Bobabu, the late Vuyo Mkwena, Bolundi, and I remember the first time I came in Johannesburg, the guy Owen Letala, he had a party for a Kaiser Chiefs and Orlando Pirates in Bramley View. That was the first time to see famous people. About 30 minutes ngangihleli nje, I was shocked, like not drinking water, not eating, like
Gibugenda when they won. Shocked to see all these celebrities.
Is this Brian Baloyi? Ngimbonayo.
Yo, but tell me something. Tell, yeah, me something. How were those? How was that? Because, you know, obviously coming from, you know, from a village,
yeah,
and
yeah,
and truly to say from humble beginnings,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
and suddenly you amassed this fame, you know, how was that for you as a young protege? Because you were very young at that time. I don't know, you said that you were 21, but to me, yeah, you looked even younger than 21.
Yeah.
But how was that for you?
It was nice, but at the same time, remember, it was not nice. Somebody always at Joburg without a family support, because I mean, I had no one to support me. Mangiza, the people abang letala, they got me from another family, I say Adams, yaga Makanya. I was playing a keyboard for one group in Adams, by babies and a Quiet Storm. That is about 140 km from my village.
Yeah.
So these people, they spoke to this family, what, you know, we want this boy to come to Johannesburg and do an album. So when I came here, there were no uncle, no one. I didn't know how to speak English. I couldn't read the contract. So, yeah,
so did, things but were did difficult. They find you, did they at least find you someone to read the contract?
Yes, they did. But, you know, I was not sure if the person that was reading the contract was telling me the truth. Like, it was difficult. But I think whatever that he was reading, it was not something that was written down there, or
yeah, sure,
because everything like went wrong after that.
But who supplied? Who supplied? First of all, who supplied that person to give you the contract? Because some of the times that matters.
There was one guy that was helping me from Gwanongoma, and then he passed away like a few years ago, and then he was not that educated naye as well, and then there was one guy from Avante, a group called Avante from KZN,
yes,
the leader Mr. Linda Kwenza, he wanted to help me, and then they said no, you can't, because you are signed with other company, and then this is another company, so you can't come between our business. And then this guy naye, he didn't have a clue what was going on. But on the other side, Mina, as a worshiper, because when I came to the music industry, I didn't know that there's money. Mina, all I knew was we are preaching the word of God. We have to win souls. But now in Johannesburg, it's different, because you have to pay rent.
You need money.
You have to buy food.
Yeah.
You have to buy clothes. And then now, although we want to win souls, but we need to get food at the end of the day. So things were difficult. But this guy was helping me in terms of giving me a food, because from 2001, the album was big. Fiso was still in, traveling.
How many albums were you sort of selling at that time?
I remember in 2001, the first album, when my album was more than 25,000 units, they said, we're not going to tell you ukuthi kahle kahle how many copies you sold because you're going to be big-headed. And then after that, Baba Vuyo Mkwena wanted to do a collaboration. The second album, I know that it sold more than 50,000 units in Nombolo, where I featured Baba Vuyo Mkwena. At that time, it was still a hit. And then the third album was Umkhuleko. That one was like the biggest one. And then they said, but we are not going to tell you exactly how many copies you sold because you're gonna be big-headed.
Wow.
So I didn't know.
Joe, you know what? Which is actually absolutely a lie, because you need to know in order to make your accounts, and when you get your statements, you need to know that those statements are fine.
So everyone was playing my album everywhere. I was getting invites everywhere. Like, you could see Gucci. In fact, each and every person, they have a copy of Siso's album. But I don't know Gucci how many copies. And that time, and Bekungekho izokhuluma, because the English, it was a mission, my bro, to speak English. And then after that game, in 2003, things started to, which is a bit different, because that's when I started to understand English. And then it was like I'm dreaming, because I've been praying. You know, you remember when you are praying, sometimes you get people abazok discourage, ukuthi hayike baba anything je that involve education, you have to go to school. Like, you can't fool yourself. You're like, you praying to God, go to course in Kelungfundis ukufundo kpala. And kumina kwenzeka. Like, if you can speak to my sister, to my older sister, and speak to my mother, or the people in Kulena, but they will tell you, I didn't finish grade 2. I didn't even finish, because the family that raised me didn't have money. Besides that, I was very sick when I was young.
Wow.
And then they said, no, there's thing that ekufanele zenziwe, and no one knew go to Baba Wamugepe, because my father is from Eastern Cape, and then uma ungapha and uma ahlal nami is got another man or ongafuni anyone ozokhuluma ngabo baba and other stuff. So things were very difficult. And then one person engambona in Durban, omunye ugogo, and lo gogo lo beka inyanga isangoma. I don't know how to call it in
Sangoma,
English.
I think everybody knows Sangoma.
Yeah, Sangoma.
Because I don't really like the word witch, you know, doctor. You know, African,
no, she's
African
not a witch
healer.
Doctor. African healer. That old woman, and she came to me and said, you know, I'm a African healer, but when you are not a person, engamsiza mina ngemithi yam, when izinto zakho zokwenzeka ngemkhuleko, if I have to help you, kumele ngikhuleke and take zonke izinto zami iphandla nangizibekele. That was something makayisho. I didn't take it serious, but after years ngabuza ukuthi lo gogo lo bengimazi ukuthi bayaziwa kuzinyanga, but I remember makangenzela into, because wathe wena, your lives belong to God, you understand, and wena kufanele ukholwe. Mina nginemithi, I have everything, but I can't give you my stuff.
Yeah, so in other words, none of my medicines
that can help you. Yes, yeah,
because your help is going to is you can only get a divine.
Yes. And then she decided to do a sort of a church service, like to call some members of my family. And then my mother didn't come. She said, no, I can't go there, because your stepfather, he can't dish food after coming from work. You understand? Because she said to me, if I have to do that, your mother needs to come here and speak. Not empepweni, like in those
Zulu. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But uma wamu wathi, no, I can't, because his stepfather sakho ngeke sikwazi ukuyiphakela masibuye emsebenzini.
It was a whole tradition thing of kind of saying that you can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But yonke into yayenzeka ngokukholwa, like ngenkonzo. And then after that, my brother, there's a lot of stories about me. Izinto ziqala zashintsha. And then mangifika ke la in 2004, and then I started ukuthi masengikwazi ukuthi ngikwazi ukuzwa isingisinyana. I started to ask questions kuma company.
To understand,
then treatment yaqala yachanja ke. Izinto zaba more difficult 2004. 2005, I had to go back home.
Yeah.
And then Gabuyela back, because there was no home.
So what you're saying, I mean, like, what you're kind of saying is that you came here, your albums were being played everywhere.
Yeah.
People were loving everything that you were doing.
Yeah.
But yet you didn't get to even see the money. You were still struggling right through to even just read your contracts, you know?
I would say imali yona ibikhona, but you're not getting money after 6 months. The time ifika you
you've got so many you've got so many bills.
Yes, uboleka ukuthi uyamba like you're sharing a rent and then when it, the month that comes you have to borrow a money from someone ukuthi okay when I get royalties my man I will pay you.
Mm-hmm.
After that 6 months you find ukuthi the money that you are owing it's far 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 more than what you are going to
get. And I mean also who knows whether the money that you were getting was even what you're meant to get. But you know?
And then after that, I started to ask questions and then things started to be difficult for me. And then 2005, I went back home. So because I didn't have a support from my mother, and then I went to my auntie there. And then when I get there, she was fighting with her husband. Things were not well. I had to come back here in Johannesburg. Well, I knew ukuthi angina support, but I had to come back. Ngoba bengena muntu engizomkhalela, and then I had to come back here. And then from there, in 2006, I met one guy that was working for EMI, and then he said, "You know, my previous company, I'm not gonna mention their name here."
Okay.
They said, "No, we're not going to give you a clearance because now you think you are clever. You're still owing us." And then
so now you can't release with anybody.
You can't release. You're still owing us one album. And then while I was still preparing to record that album, I saw one album on stores already selling. And then they took songs that were left in the studio and used the pictures. Wow. And then the album, the title of the album was Fiso. And then the album did very well. And then I promoted the album because they said, "I'm owing." I said, "Okay, now this time, since they said I'm owing them, I'm not going to ask any money from them to promote the album." I started to contact guys from the radio station to promote because you know what used to happen.
Yeah.
When these people knew that I'm not educated, whenever there is meeting in our company, they used to tell all the artists if they have meetings to go out and leave me inside. Up until God told me how to speak English, it made me understand English. So, but there was a time when they used to do AMA meetings and they didn't know that now I can understand English. So it was like I'm in school because most of the things Engastola to run my record company now, I got it from them because when they were doing their plans, we're talking, okay, now this is our plan to promote our artist. This is how we're going to do it. Now. I will be sitting here because they know that Sfiso Ngwane doesn't understand. And then all the artists, they will chase them out. "Sfiso Ngwane, how are you?" I say, "Yes." "Hey, you're fine, yes." And then everything is yes for me because...
Yeah.
And then I acted as if I don't know. I don't know. Understand.
But yet, meanwhile, through all that time, you were actually learning. I mean,
I was learning.
So, but isn't it amazing that sometimes, like out of bad situations that we have in our lives, if we are just obedient to God and we just say, "You know what, Lord, you have it all for me," and then, fun enough, God turns those situations to actually work to our best, because here you are right now.
Yes.
You are so successful. You are running your own things. You know, all those contacts that you got from back then when you were sitting there, because you could have been out with the other artists.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But let's say God kept you inside so that you could learn. And so what seemed at that time
now you to have been
a disadvantage actually became your advantage, because here you are now. Bapibona, where are those
now
other guys?
Now you are preaching.
Do you know what I mean?
You know, now you are preaching. That's why even some of my colleagues, they were saying, "Why are you always mentioning these people, Uti? If you didn't go to this company, you wouldn't be where you are now." I said, "You know, guys, the information I got from these people..."
Because they were trying to keep you inside?
Leave aside the money. You see Sfiso now, the Sfiso that the South Africa is enjoying, it because of the information, because of what I've learned from them. Okay, I know there was a lot of pain as well.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pain, my bro, I have to tell you.
Of
a
course.
Lot.
Yeah.
Because I remember one guy used to ukuthi angitshene ukuthi, "When are you not going to go anywhere because you're not educated? When are we ahlupheka baba kwakulahla uma kwakulahla, and then nje wena we nonsense nje futhi nje, you don't have a future, you are just a useless person, you're gonna be a hobo, you will be you're gonna end up in jail, because if your album doesn't sell, that means you're going to sell dacha or whatever, weed. So there was a lot of pain that I went through, but that somehow
though must have in some way motivated you, because I believe that, like, you know, even the biggest world changers in the world, you know, I'll even go to people like Albert Einstein. They were told about how dumb they were when they were young, and you can either take that and you can let it affect you positively or affect you negatively.
You are right, my brother, because Mina, I used to tell people, look, you can stay with bad people sometimes. I'm not encouraging people with about behavior wrong, but it's up to you when with what do you take from those people. And my former producer, although we have difficulties now, he used to tell me, Wuti, I see you in few years when you're gonna be a star, but mina manje, I want to make money, so I think like you're wasting my time, because I want to make money now because I'm old when you will be a star in few years to come, and then by that time, you know, I'm gonna relax with my family. So, hey, when are you wasting my time?
And you know what? And now let's go to a few years. Let's go to a few years later. I mean, literally, that guy prophesied over your life, and there you went, and you won, Joe.
Yes,
you won Song of the Year. This is the first time. I mean, Kulungile Baba, a song that I played earlier on.
Yes,
it won a gospel song winning Song of the Year, and to who else but to Sfiso, who had just been through all these troubles, did your life change from there?
My man, I think not even me. I got testimonies from people who babeti mina, I was in hospital, you know, when you went there, when these people mentioned your name, I just jumped from the bed. You know, that was amazing for me. Like, even now, people are still talking about it. I mean, that changed my life. And then everywhere I go, I remember in Durban, I met Trey Song from USA.
Yes.
He said, you know, my man, in USA, that will never happen. We can never have a gospel song
win record of the
he
year.
He said some big names, and bullshit, man. I said, but I did it. And then one program in one of the TV stations in South Africa where I was the first artist as well to perform. And then they said they were not playing any gospel music. I don't know if I can mention it.
Life Amp.
Yes, and then I performed in Life Amp for several times now. And then I was the first artist to perform, because I remember that they said we had an interview with Rebecca Malope when they were doing something with other artists. But
and it's always around Easter.
The first time. Yeah. And then they played my videos. And then on one SABC station, Ukhozi FM, I was the first artist to be on the top 20. You know, Ingoma Zokhlukana Isinyaka. I don't know.
It's like when they compile the songs of the year at the end of the year. And tell me your song one.
The Kulungile Baba. No, it was number 4. I didn't know. But I was the first. They said this is the first time to put the gospel song here. So most of the things, ezenzekile uNkulunkulu, I really thank God. The pain that I went through at the end of the day, I did a collaboration with a lot of people that I respect, and then I've worked with a lot of people. I've performed in big, like, with a lot of people, FOTI Engba respectayo, in the music industry. So there's a lot of things happening. I've got a record company which is doing very well. I am married, and I remember
I actually wanted to speak about, you know, man, what a beautiful wife, and just what a beautiful heart the two of you have. I've got to put the two of you together.
My Kim Kardashian.
Your Kim Kardashian one. And also just, you've got two children, eh?
Yes.
And two boys.
Yes, two boys.
You've got to go into Instagram and you've got to see Sweetie's Instagram. I mean, it's just swag just throughout. And just to think, and you know what? And when I look at my family, I just know that, like, I'm just like, wow, is this me? Because this is what say to Lesia, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Tell us about your family
So when I met my wife in 2002, because we got married in 2007, we met in 2002, and then I was a centenarian at that time. Because I didn't afford anything. And then from there, And then I said, you know, when I want to marry you. She didn't believe. She said, but you are very young. I said, when I want to marry you. The first time I saw her.
But she looks younger than you.
She was young. When we got married, she was 18 years.
Wow.
I said, I want to marry you. She said, but we are too young. But I said, I want to marry you. When I will see, God will provide me with money. And then from then.
Oh, when you met her, yeah.
Yes. And then things didn't go well as well. You know, after we got married, oh man, it was bad. I didn't get any bookings. Like it was like somebody went somewhere and put a stop, which, you know what, don't call Fiso. Any interviews, nothing, like things went. I was staying with my mother-in-law and my wife. You understand?
Wow.
Because Jay,
She loved you in that state.
Yes. Sometimes I get angry. You know, Buloy, so no, I course, get angry sometimes when people saying, Ayanda, she looked very glamorous, and then Ayanda came to take your money, to eat your money, and say, you know, these people don't know. When I met Ayanda Mina, I was eating a rank, MTN, taxi rank was not there. I was like eating there in Togo Yenkomo, like easy in Tonje. Impilo yami was like a mess. We opened the company in 2009. When I went home after EMI was closed down, Babu Mike Masongana said the same thing as well. Uguti, I am taking Malaika and other groups, but when I can't record you, you are too heavy for me. Go and start your own thing. You know, it was painful.
Wow,
that time I had a very big respect for Babu Mike. And then he came back and said, you know what? Don't take this as in a bad way. I see you somewhere in one day, and then Mina, I can't handle you. Go back and try to talk to people obazio. Since you are a Christian, you can talk to pastors, they will help you. But when I see you somewhere one day, go and open your thing. And then I went back. You know, let me tell you, when I went back in 2008 to KZN, I didn't have a cent, my bro.
Yeah.
And then there was an album that was released under EMI Record, but isn't to bezingambi kahle with the guy Wongi Sekon. There was ama CD kasihlengi wemhlaba awayihleli komunye umuzi bengihlala kuwo in Spread View. I took those CDs in 2008. Myself, I went to Spread in Natal Spread and sell those CDs in front of the hospital just to get money to go back home. I got 350 rand because I was selling original CDs for 10 rand, 5 rand, because I wanted the money to go back home, just to get the bus and go back home. I took those CDs. I asked the guy that was working with Bab Makabanut, can you give me these CDs? I want to sell it. I went there. It was half of the box. I went there. I sold the CDs. And then I took a bus and went back home. Not home as well, because I went to my Gubogankoskaz wamgayohlala nabo. And then from there, when we were planning to open the company, and then I started to call pastors and, can you book me, just pay me 500 rand? 2008, end of 2008. Can I come and perform in your church? Just give me 1,000. And then after that, and then we had 6,000 rand. I booked the studio in Johannesburg. When I was recording my album, I had an accident. The car was written off. And then I had only a cut in my tongue. My tongue, straight.
Yeah.
I had to stop as well the album. Wooting record, and then Banghamba Bayong's teacher, I think there was one municipality that paid about 54,000 to stitch my tongue because it was bad.
Yeah.
And then I after that I went back, and then from there and then we finished the album with the hit Pagama.
Wow.
And then we registered the company because I said, because when you are more educated than me, okay, when you will do the paperwork, Mina, I will use the information that I have, that I got from my previous companies, and then I will tell you what to do, how to approach these people when we're doing a promotion and none. And guess what? By the grace of God, when we released that album, the album was the hit.
Wow, but you know what? I must say, you have been obedient, to what God told you right in the beginning. You know, I know that, like, when they say that do your best and God will do the rest, it's not necessarily all true.
Yes.
Because there needs to come a time when we totally give up.
Yeah.
So that Christ can be everything.
Yeah.
But I love your strength. I love the fact that you've never looked yourself down. And for that, you know, like, for that, I absolutely commend you. You inspire me, man.
Thank you.
You inspire
thank
me.
You, my bro. Thank
we don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time left. So I want to just speak about a certain, you know, like a certain song that you did with Umamu PJ Powers. And it's called, you know, it's called There Is An Answer.
There is an answer. You know, when I got a call from CCA, they said, you are doing a collaboration with Umamu Tandega. I said, me? Okay. Now, tell me you're joking, because, you know, I really respect that woman. You know, my aim, like, when I was growing up, I used to say, you know, I wish I can do a collab with Baba Ulaki Dube, and then after that we did this collab. It's one of the beautiful songs. I think people they're going to love it.
So I mean, like, there is an answer. What is the song about? Because I think it's so relevant to manage what we need. You know,
I think the song came at the right time, my brother, because you know, we had the xenophobia and we were fighting, and then there's a lot of things happening in South Africa. If you listen to the song carefully, you can explain the song in a different way. But now the song is talking about like each and everything that we are facing as a country, as a world. But the only answer is God. Like, we have to pray. We have to sicela uNkulunkulu ukuthi nje kube uyo skydive ukuthi okay, now which way okesingamele sihambe ngayo manje. It's a very powerful song. I really love it.
And you know, Joe, and I think, like, as much as it, people may say that we are probably in the worst of times as a country, South Africa, but I believe that we are in the best of times, because God has closed every single door of opportunity out there, and the only opportunity that we have is Him. Now, when you have God, man, you have everything. So that's why I just thought that the song
you need to open the church. I'll be the first member to.
That's why I thought, you know what, man, this is the song for the time. And where can people, I mean, like, where can people get the song?
The song is available on download on iTunes as well. You can go to all the big networks, MTN and Vodacom.
Yeah.
And then if you know how to download the song as a collar tune, as a ringback tone, a full track as well, or call MTN number, Vodacom number, the song is available. It's a very powerful song, I have to say. And the song has been doing very well, because I've been getting calls everywhere with you. When are you guys performing with PJ Power, that song? So the song is available. So CCA, there's a company called CCA, Content Africa, which is dealing with all our digital stuff.
Yes. And yeah, this really is the good, song. Man. Yeah, this is the song right here. But man, Puti, I know that it's not... It hasn't been, you know, the thing is, I thought that you probably had a hard 2 years, you know, like all the stories that I keep on reading, and I thought I was going to get into it, but you know, God is the one
who... Come back. I'm releasing my album in June. I'm releasing my single, probably, if not tomorrow, my single will be out, or maybe Monday, and then the whole album is coming on June, and then I will come back, and then we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll have a problem. We'll talk about
it. Is it okay?
That.
Cool. No. We'll definitely talk. We're definitely going to have you back.
I would really love to come back. Please, ngiyacela. Ngiyakukhangamatolo to the producers. Can you invite me again?
We're going to invite you back again. But Sifiso Ngwane, thank you so much, man, for your time. You're so inspirational.
Thanks, my bro. Thanks.
And here is the song by Sifiso Ngwane and PJ Powers called There Is An Answer. Make sure you get the song and call it to you. When other people call you, they will actually know that there is an answer, because chances are you already know there's an answer, but the world out there needs to know. So make sure that you let them know when they call you, and let them hear that there is an answer. And we'll see you guys next time. Siyabonga futhi.
Thank you.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.